Blog Talk Radio.
The views and comments expressed do not reflect the opinions of eWater Radio. All comments and views are show guest views and comments and in no way reflect views or comments of eWater Radio, KEWR, DB, or its affiliates.
I beat that bitch with a brush. 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 Beat that bitch with a brush. Blend the skin, smoke your eyes, cross your lips, lotion up your thighs. Do you want me to? I want you to beat me till I'm black and blue. Throw down your magic, I'm ready, can't wait. Come beat my body, then beat my face. Gotta be body, gotta be face. Gotta be body, mm-hmm, get a taste. Gotta be body, I gotta be face. Gotta be body, the beat so severe, painted from ear to ear. Go get your pump, pump, twist like Johnny Weir. Now you pose and give a mug like your own rude drag race. Give me body, serve me face. Gotta be body, gotta be face. Gotta be body, mm-hmm, get a taste. Gotta be body, I gotta be face. Gotta be body.
Ethereal, mysterious, sexy, malicious, girl next door, natural, outrageous, strong ass is my decent big dog. Just beat, beat, till you are who you are.
Gotta be body, gotta be body,
gotta be
body. Now you pose and give a mug like you're on roof drag race. Now you pose and give a mug like you're on roof drag race. Now you pose and give a mug like you're on roof drag race. Now you pose, 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 pose. With a brush, I beat that bitch with a brush. 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 I then slap on some blush. I blend the skin, smoke your eyes, gloss your lips, lotion up your thighs.
To the taste, to the taste, to the taste. Mm-hmm.
Got
get a taste, get a taste, get a taste, get a taste.
Mm-hmm.
Get a taste. Get a taste, get a taste, get a taste, mm-hmm, get a taste, get a taste.
Oh, get a taste, get a taste, mm-hmm, get a taste. How are you guys doing today? It's Daddy Cool here, Daddy Cool Radio, the B Club Mondays with Nikki Shay, influential guest. Discuss hot topics in makeup, music, and matters. It's a fun-filled hour of dramedy. That's drama and comedy beat together. Let's go! All right, today we have two special guests for you. We have Allison Gladue celebrity makeup artist, and we have Steve Manning. We have Steve Manning on the line as well. So we are going to have a good time today. So let's say hello to Allison Gladue.
Hello, Hi, cool. Yes, how's it going? So happy to be here. Thank you for having me, cool.
Oh my God, I'm so happy to talk to you today. I can't wait. And also today,
so grateful to be here.
I am so happy to have you. Also on the line today, we have Mr. Steve Manning, PR publicist to the stars. We're going to talk to him today about his exciting career and all the things he's done in his life. It's just an amazing, guys. I can't wait to get to this. Mr. Manning, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, my brother. It's very exciting. Thank you, Cooper. Thank you for me. I'm very excited about doing interviews with you tonight. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. The pleasure is all mine. And I want to make sure my co-host is on the line, Nikki Shea. Nikki Shea, are you with me?
Hello, 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 everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're super excited.
Right. So I just want to play I want to go ahead and let's talk to Allison. I want to have a question for you, Allison.
Sure.
And Steve, feel free to jump in on this.
All right.
Anytime.
Okay.
Anytime. But on the B Club, we like to talk about makeup, music, and matters. We like to talk about all things beautiful on the inside and on the out. And Allison, I know that you have been with over 20 years in the makeup artistry industry. What has been one of the most rewarding aspects of your career so far?
Well, I would have to say my relationships that I've built with other artists and producers, really just developing teamwork amongst my peers and growing, you know, everything is always evolving and changing. Trends are always changing and products are always changing. So working alongside some fantastic makeup artists, always, you know, being able to try new things and, you know, making people look beautiful and trying new products and being able to share that with my peers and just the relationship and love that I've built, the tribes that I've built were people that, you know, that I trust and love. And then the job itself is just so fun. Being on set is a lot of fun. It's a new, you know, everywhere you're always in new locations, you're always with new people, and then getting gorgeous faces.
Right. It sounds like it doesn't suck, that's for sure.
It definitely doesn't suck. I mean, I love it like the first day I started. I mean, I still look forward to going to work every day. So that is a huge blessing. It's more than a lot of people can say about their careers, that's for sure.
Right. Well,
you know,
makeup
and grooming is so important. Even nowadays, it's so important to look your best on that. You could thank the Kardashians and thank stars like Janet, Beyonce, makeup. And because of social media now, everybody's a photographer. I told Cool earlier today, everyone's a photographer now. Everybody is a model or want to look beautiful or handsome. And makeup, certainly, you and Cool's position is so important.
Thank
Absolutely.
You. I appreciate it so much.
And I'd like to tell our listeners, you know, about the relationship that I have with both of you. So speaking of makeup and making things beautiful, as you guys know, I'm a makeup artist. And then one of my first jobs in Hollywood, I walk in and there's this beautiful girl. She's there and she's just glowing. And immediately we just hug each other. And that was Allison.
I immediately fell in love with you.
It was kind of like love at first sight, right? And we've been friends ever since.
Yeah. We've done some really fun projects.
Just collided.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then,
I mean,
are you from the West Coast? Are you from L.A.?
I'm from the West Coast. I've lived in L.A. since 98, but I grew up in New Orleans and Portland, Oregon. I went to college in Santa Barbara and discovered makeup, and then moved to L.A. in 98 to stick a flag in it and become a celebrity makeup artist. That was the goal.
Absolutely.
Well, I tell you something. Everybody doing their own beauty brands now, like I said, grooming, even for men, is so profound now from years ago. It's not a taboo now even for men to look their best. Everybody wants to look their best, which is definitely
men are wearing trendy makeup, guyliner. Yeah, guyliner is great. I'm all about, like, the trend now of men wearing makeup, even a little bit of lip gloss or a little bit of shading. You know, they're into it. Doesn't matter. Rock stars. I was on the red carpet for iHeartRadio last Monday, and we were seeing rock stars left and right wearing trendy makeup, and it just lights my soul. Makes me feel so good.
Why must say, cool as a master artist, and when it comes to grooming, especially for men, every makeup artist can't do a man or woman, or can do a black person, Hispanic, or melon skin. But I'm quite sure both of you are cool, said you're a master of that too, you know?
Yes. I really enjoy doing deeper skin tones. That's one of my favorite things to do. So
I had a client, makeup client, like in the 80s, was a guy named Byron Bonds. I don't know if you heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
He's Iman's partner. I represented him.
Oh, nice.
He was my first makeup person like that I worked with.
I love that.
Absolutely. And the way that I met Steve was I was his groomer.
I was doing Larry King show with Redden Chopin and Dupac. What's his guy? Dupac Shakur. What's the Indian guy name? Inspirational guy.
Deepak Shakur.
Yes, he was on the show right before Michael's private service. I had the pleasure of meeting Larry King, and that's how I met Mr. Cool. That was 2009.
Absolutely.
2009, and then we became friends.
How's that?
And I hired him
for
some
other jobs. Unfortunately, he was doing the passing of one of his clients, Michael Jackson, but it was fortunate that we met and started our friendship. And Steve actually introduced me to some of the other Jackson's brothers when they were doing a project, and I got the pleasure of grooming them. I got the pleasure to groom Mr. Joe Jackson and Tito
I had the pleasure of
LaToya. Jermaine. Oh, yeah. You worked
with LaToya
before.
And some of the kids, some of the grandkids you did also.
Yes. That's
cool,
great.
The whole family.
It was for a documentary about Michael Jackson is huge in Japan. Of course, huge around the world, too. But they were doing a special tribute to Michael, and I was working with the Japanese people, and I hired Kulu to do the grooming for this We Love You, Michael Jackson, Miss You. It was huge in Asia in 2010. It was a big special. Kulu did the makeup for the family for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was like such an honor. And I was going to introduce Mr. Manning to the audience. As you guys know, we've already talking about Steve Manning and some of his accomplishments, but he was the PR manager for Michael Jackson's albums Off the Wall and Thriller, some of the best selling albums of all time.
Big deal. That's amazing.
He's a big deal. So I wanted to ask Steve, and Nikki, you can jump in here if you have some questions for Steve too, but I wanted to ask Steve, like, what strategies, you know, did you use to market Michael Jackson's albums, like Off the Wall, Thriller?
It's amazing how Michael was one of the biggest artists in the world before social media. I mean, around the globe. I mean, people were screaming. You have thousands of people. He sold out arenas from Wembley, all around every country you can imagine. He would sell out crazy like that. And this was before social media. This was through word of mouth and through fan clubs and just general press, traditional press. And even nowadays, that's the traditional press, you know, the print media and the news like that. And just imagine how the press he got before social media. I mean, imagine it had social media back there in those days, you know. And even look, you look at Taylor Swift nowadays and Beyonce and Cardi B and whoever like that, the social media thing has been so powerful. But imagine him doing this without social media, you know. BT, MTV. I remember MTV would not play Thriller. They only played rock people. And if they did black artists, they put on at night. And Walter Yechnikoff, who was the president of Sony Music at the time, said, if you don't put this on, we're going to pull all our rock acts. And there was a girl I worked with, Gail Sparrow, who was at Epic Records at the time, Michael's label, kind of pushed it through, too, when she went to MTV. Gail Sparrow.
That was Thriller, right?
Yes. But Off the Wall, yeah. Michael told me of Off the Wall, and that was his first big success. He really believed in that. He was so shocked at the success of that. And then with Thriller, he said, Steve, this is going to be the biggest album in the world. And in his bathroom, he had Moet bottles. He really wasn't a drinker, but he had champagne bottles. Every time it sold a million, he would take a marker and mark off 1 million, 2 million, like that. You know, it was phenomenal like that. And he was so creative. And, of course, the video thing was very driven. The video thing was so powerful. Imagery was so powerful. Those are like mini movies.
Yeah.
And, of course,
right.
He had some of the biggest budget.
And that, to me, was like Michael's strength. We talk about social media, what you were talking about previously.
Yeah.
You know, Michael was a shy person. So do you think that he would actually be out on Instagram or be out on Facebook
TikTok? He didn't handle that. But listen, once he got on stage, people who saw him on stage, it was a tour de force. I mean, he said the audience applause was waves of love. I mean, he was a different person on stage. I mean, he loved the applause, loved the attention. He was a beast on stage. You know, he loved that, like that, you know? And I think that when people saw the concerts, whether from Prague, Russia, Eastern Europe, Brazil, I remember going to Ireland, Dublin, and seeing a show at Wembley with Mr. Jackson. We were in London for a couple of days, then we went over to Wembley, to Ireland. I mean, 40,000 people, two shows sold out.
Wow.
Globally. And he believed music had no color. He believed music had no color.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that we enjoyed about Michael Jackson is that he was always, you know, we are the world, right? So everyone is, there's only one race, right? The human race. So there was no, skin color or anything like that, which was very huge for him, you know, during this entire era, because for us, just listening to his music and growing up, you know, even me, you know, growing up in a house full of inspiration and music, he was one of the, you know, artists we would play. And what I enjoyed about his talent was that he was very loving and caring, inclusive, but on top of his talent, he remained humble. And I think that's another thing that people don't have anymore. And he also, whether be on stage, behind the mic, or in a music video, his presence was always there.
I must say something. During the late 60s, the Jackson 5 were our Beatles. People have kind of forgotten about the Jackson 5. They were like our black Beatles, our black royalty. And they were huge around the world. Black identity. They were our black Beatles. And the Jacksons, they were the royal family of music. And this new generation has kind of forgotten about how big they were. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm noticing that the newer generation, and they're starting to trend Michael Jackson. They're like now it's like, oh my gosh, this guy from back in the day. And we're like, no,
well, you know,
Michael.
You know, even here in New York, they have this huge Halloween parade. It's one of the biggest Halloween parades in the world. And they do the Thriller dance. I mean, you have like 20,000 people doing that famous dance, dressing like him. It's getting bigger every year. You know, they started again last year after the pandemic. But, I mean, that's a classic like that, a classic thing like that.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, those were many movies he did. The budgets were so big. I mean, he used his own money.
Right.
The label wouldn't pay for it. So he said, you know what, I'm going to pay for it myself. And that's what he did.
Wow.
He paid for the stuff.
Wow.
And he owned the rights to all his stuff, too, which is very, very smart. He owned all the rights to his stuff there.
Wow. I wanted to ask, like, both of you guys.
I must say real quick, I said that the videos really drove him worldwide success, too. Because, I mean, I know people were like little kids. They couldn't stop playing it with the dances, the moonwalk. They couldn't stop playing it, looking at it.
Yeah.
So that was the driven success, too, along with the press on that, you know.
And people are dressing like that.
They still are.
To this day, people are still dressing like him. I mean, look at the
whole new generation.
Kids' Choice Awards. He's busting out these military jackets. Like, it's great.
He transcends everything. But I wanted to ask you guys, both Allison and Steve, like, I want you guys to share, like, any, like, memorable experiences or challenges you faced while working with your clients or working on set, Allison. You know, like, how did you overcome them?
Like, challenges?
Yeah, like a challenge. Like, share a memorable experience or a challenge that you faced while working on set.
I would say one of my first big breaks was with a news anchor for, like, when I was really young. And I came on from retail, and she just would, like, take brushes out of my hand and throw them across the room and be like, I'll do it myself. But she was just a brat. She just wanted – she knew that I
was a real diva. Too old for
go to the bathroom and cry, but, you know, looking back on it, it was the worst experience I ever had, and it was in the beginning, so I consider it my boot camp, right? Like, now, at this stage in the game, I have worked with all sorts of characters and personalities, and I think that turning into water and just sort of making them feel like they're the center of attention, making all the questions about them, and just kind of riding their wave, whatever wave they are on, puts them at ease, makes them feel comfortable. Just like my overall general, and this stage in the game, I only work with people that I like and that I want to work with who bring
it's
something to the table. I have learned over the years, you say no, you know, no matter how much money they offer you, you say no to people that you don't enjoy being around.
It's always best to be nice. I mean, sometimes I found through the years, my long experience in the business, that sometimes the employees who are not the stars were worse than the actual artists, you know. Because,
right.
You know, stardom can be very addictive. It can be very powerful. You know, of all adulation and stuff like that, it can be very, very powerful. And people get turned out sometimes because of the success on that. And even if people play behind the scenes, they become big headed. And like I said, Michael was a great guy. I mean, Michael Jordan.
In my experience, most people are actually really friendly and really amazing. Like, one person who's standing out for me right now is 50 Cent. I worked with him, and I expected sort of an entourage, like his wardrobe people. I expected a little bit more of, like, who's who. At the time I worked with him, he was at his highest height. And his wardrobe people came in, introduced themselves, were completely friendly. We sat down. By the end of the time, we were all, like, sharing a glass of wine together and laughing and had a great day. I have more memories of
you're doing the Power Series for 50 Cent. You're doing the Power Series, 50 Cent, or something separate from the TV?
No, this is a long time ago. It was a show. It was a party. It was called Cabo Party Monsters, and it was like people were competing to throw parties for celebrities in Cabo, and so the celebrity would come down, and then these party planners would present their idea, and in 24 hours they had to throw them a massive party.
Were you invited to the party? Did you go to the party also?
Yeah, of course I went to the party.
That's great.
I know. I literally lived in Cabo for like a month and a half. It was awesome. But for me, I was just going to say that, like, what stands out for me more cool are people who are awesome and lovely. I don't really encounter too many nightmares. I really don't.
Right.
Especially Bruno Mars was another really good one. I did his great. So he was with Soul Sonic, right? Wait, what's the name of the band? It's super Soul Sonic. Anyway, he did something for the Grammys.
Soul Sonic Force, the rap group? Soul Sonic Force. Yeah, they're from New York. They're from the East Coast.
Right. Okay, great. Yeah. So I did, I was hired to do his team for the Grammys. They did a performance, and they actually shot it in L.A., and then they sent it to the Grammys in New York. And it was like a dream job because I'm such a 70s girl. Everything for me is 70s. Like, I wear bell bottoms every day today. So we got to do Roller Girls and these giant afros. And I was like, oh, my God, they're hiring a white girl to department head this. But I came in and I tried to, like, Yeah, I brought in, it was that song, I deserve to be with somebody as fine as me, that song.
Okay.
And
do,
I try. Cool, like,
do you guys
on my
find sometimes what I find is, like, that their team sometimes set it up to be more, you know, all of the, what am I trying to say, all of the pregame stuff where they're like, okay, so before they get here, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. And they make the whole situation kind of nerve-wracking, and it makes you think, oh,
more
God,
so,
when they get here, it's going to be a nightmare. But, when the actual artist arrives and you meet them, they're amazing. It was the team that was, like, making you nervous, like, that it was going to be, you know, something
and
that
I
wasn't going to be.
And that's how it is, though. Like, the A-listers are, like, the sweetest people. And what I'm going to say, A-listers, they're fantastic.
The personal assistants could be another whole story, correct? I mean, the personal assistants and the role manager, that could be a whole other story there.
Yep.
Another story.
Yeah,
but even
the teams, I feel like the teams kind of relax once the A-lister gets on board. You know, once they're there, everybody relaxes, and then it can be a lot of fun.
Yes.
So you've been doing this for quite a while. You said the 70s. I mean, during the disco era. That was a very interesting era, the disco era.
I wasn't working then.
I wasn't working
in the 70s, but it was a 70s theme. It was 2 years ago for Bruno Mars. It was he just did a 70s theme disco party.
Oh, yeah, I met him before, Filipino. He's a very talented artist. I've been to the Philippines before with the Jackson family. The people, you know, I didn't know he was Filipino for a long time, Bruno Mars. Great music.
Yeah, from Hawaii.
Yeah, I love Bruno. Bruno's great.
And
his
brother is his drummer, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his brother looks just like him, and he's a drummer.
So you travel on the road with him, too? Do you travel the whole tour you travel
to
make up for him?
Not at all. I just did one thing, one project with them. Yeah, it was just an insert for the Grammys. I was just lucky to do one thing with them. He had his own makeup artist. I did all the dancers. I did who he co-sang with.
Yeah, he did something at the Apollo. I saw him at the Apollo. Then he had a dinner in Harlem at the Sylvia's restaurant a couple of years ago before the pandemic. You know, very soulful guy and very kind, too, you know.
All smiles,
smiles.
He's exactly what you would expect of him. He's exactly who you think he is, you know, with his music.
Oh, exactly.
Just happy.
You can tell that, you know, person looking at him, you can tell that before you meet him like that, you know.
Yeah.
You can tell that.
Yeah.
I want you guys to tell our listeners, like, what's it like, you know, like, for, you know, being around high-profile people and staying – like true to yourself. I mean, Steve, you did what? Like, I'm reading your bio here. It says you did like former Bill Clinton's fundraiser for like the president. Like,
great.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now it's better now. It's clearer now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, I'm saying you did like fundraisers with like, you know, Bill Clinton. Right?
That's crazy.
I'm looking,
amazing.
Very,
so,
very nice man. I met him after the presidency. There's a benefit for Jamaican Development Center at the old World Trade Center before they had the attack there. He was very, very kind. And I gave him a jersey from a Super Bowl champion. And I saw him a year later at the All-Star game at the Players Bowl. And he has a knack for people's names. He didn't remember my name, but he remembered me, my face, and said, oh, you got gave me that jersey. It was a Torrey Hurd jersey from 2001, Super Bowl champion. And he was so honored. He's a big football fan, President Clinton.
Right. So how do you keep your cool and, like, being in the room with those people? Like, I know
it's
for all of us, we're around celebrity types all the time. But, you know, for our listeners, like, how do you keep your cool?
Well, sometimes you can say,
or you just yourself.
I can't. Sometimes you can say, wow, I can't believe it. I want to pinch myself. You know, like a couple of times. I said, wow, is really true like that? I mean, it's very exciting. Like I said, it's an honor to tell you the truth, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, very.
Yeah.
Done by.
So, Steve,
right,
I have a question for you, though. What, like, kind of like going into what Cool was saying, like, because I've known Cool for years. He's very humble. And you guys just
No, he's not.
But you, all of you are like are amazing people, and you've done amazing things. And did you ever think that, you know, you would be here? What made you like kind of like into that? You know, steer into that. You know, was it a blessing in disguise? Again, because I know Cool has a lot of wonderful stories where, like you said, he met Allison and immediately, you know, positive energy hubs and everything. Then he met you, and you were working with, you said, Deepak Chopra, I believe. Well, you were with Michael Jackson, et cetera. But in that moment, like, when did you realize, before all this happened, hey, this is what I want to do? Like, I'm going to get into.
Worked in the mailroom. During high school and college, I worked at Columbia Pictures on Fifth Avenue, and I had to, you know, they did Bewitched and those shows on that, all the big movies like that. And I remember seeing Barbara Streisand and he come up. There was an older guy named J. Raymond Bell. He was the publicist for Columbia Pictures, and Barbara Streisand would always go up to him and see him like that. And I talked to him one time, old Jewish guy, very nice, very refined, very kind. He said, this is a good feeling going like that. And I remember getting some autographed pictures of Sidney Poitier for the Jackson 5. I sent them out to Mr. Jackson like that. And they love Sidney Poitier. You know, I had a chance to meet him, too, one time, you know, in the islands there. But it was something, you know, getting direction, like a mentor. And Suzanne De Pass, who was Barry Gordy's assistant, she's from Harlem also, she guided me, too, you know.
And do you
think that
like that's how you stayed humble? I think that's what
sometimes you can be too humble sometimes too. You know, like I said, I've seen people who were assistants or secretaries or roadies who had big egos and actual stars, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, always be nice. It's always best to be nice.
Well, and I think that that's important, because I think that's what Nicole's getting at too. Like, this is why you're able to be in those spaces and put yourself in this amount of success, is because you guys are both kind, and you are, and you treat all people nicely, and you even people who have success and people don't have success. We all treat each other respectfully, and then, you know, the blessings
will come.
Right? Yeah, if you start treating, I'm going to treat this person ain't nobody, because you don't know that person's not nobody, because that person may be nobody today to you, but tomorrow that person's going to be somebody that might be able to hire you. So
yeah,
you need to treat everybody
daughter.
Equally.
You attract,
right?
Because
you don't know.
I feel like,
very true.
Yeah.
And he pointed out, too, just that there's people that help along the way that catapult the career that you meet, that see something in you that you might not. Like, I didn't see things in myself that some people along the way saw in me, like Zena, who pulled out of, like, some small show and decided I was going to come work with her on Dancing with the Stars. That was a big pivotal point in my career. I owe my career definitely to a list of people who saw something in me that maybe at the time I didn't see in myself, that I grew exponentially from.
Well, wow. So somebody to believe in you. You know, basically, somebody to believe in you and give you that shot, give you that break, that chance, that break.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, definitely a big part of this business that, you know, I owe to luck, I guess, you know, or being in the right place at the right time, for sure.
Well, there's something to luck. People have to recognize that when you get lucky, but you have to then act on it, because a lot of times opportunities come and they're right there in front of your face. But what do you do with it? And you also have a mind of actually like being able to see opportunity. I've been around people who opportunities is like staring them in the face and they're not even recognizing it. I'm like, are you crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Are you crazy?
Well, I must say, opportunity sometimes does not come often. Sometimes, like you said, the person didn't recognize it, and it may come back again or may not. The door closes, you know. I mean, that's
right.
It.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What road are you going to choose? You know, and I tend to try to always go towards the road of the heart. People who are really operating from the heart, and I've worked for department heads that aren't, and I've worked for department heads that are, and I've tried to become the department head that works from the heart. and try to see things in people that I can hire, that I can, you know, give them opportunity the way that it was given to me.
That's nice. Very good to hear. That's a good thing.
Paying it forward.
Cool, you do. You've always worked with your heart. You always put people at ease, anybody at ease. It's amazing to watch
cool.
you work.
Let me ask you a question. I mean, all your years of being a master artisan with grooming, when you've done male artists and stuff with actors and music, didn't you find it very uncomfortable like that? Because I did a couple of rap groups, which I'm not going to name, and they would say, oh, I'm not no homo, so I'm not putting no makeup on. And I said, so make it look better. They did the album cover, did the session, and after the session, I said, oh, you want the guy to give you something to wipe it off? Oh, no, I'll take it off when I go home.
Exactly.
You know? It's so funny about
that. That's so true.
And,
so many men now
are
like,
I'll
wear it home.
And then a lot of times, too, I mean, new artists I know through the years, like, example, MC Light. I did her first project for Silver Room and Atlantic Records, and she was her very first single. And you could tell when a person is not comfortable with makeup on. You could tell.
Yeah.
But after she got adjusted to it like that, you know, some of the other artists, some of the guys,
MC Light, But MC Light later on the back down the road, I had to love the makeup because I remember I got the pleasure of working with her once on the reel she came through, and she wanted everything on.
Said that, Well, this is her very first project. They've never had makeup on before. You know, a lot of artists I work with for the very, very first time, their first project, and they, I assume, had never had makeup before, had never been, you know, a session like that. And I would say maybe times, like maybe the very first photo session like that.
Yeah.
I can tell you something, like a lot of hip-hop people, they said, oh, no, I can't, I'm not, you know. And then I said, hey, it's time to wipe makeup off.
I understand what you're saying, like a question. Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I was saying like that. Maybe realize that the first time they ever had that opportunity, and they makeup a good makeup person can really makes a big difference, as you know yourself. Makes a big difference.
So, what I like to do is I like to enhance the beauty or enhance their handsomeness. Sometimes I'll just tell the guys, I'm just putting moisturizer on you. It's just a little tinted moisturizer, because if you tell them that it's makeup, they feel differently. They feel some type of way. So I just say, hey, but I'm just gonna put a little tinted moisturizer here under your eyes or your nose, so you glow a little bit, so you don't look ashy. You know, kind of use those words instead of saying I'm going to put makeup on you.
What's the word? Cool melon in the skin, which means dark melon. That's a new term now for dark skin, or the folks of color, melon and skin.
You and Allison, so like.
What do you
Allison
say, Allison?
Cool.
I tell them it's men's makeup. I just go, oh, this is men's makeup, and they go, oh, really? And I go,
oh,
yeah. And then
oh, that's
like,
funny.
Okay.
That's funny.
It is now.
But Allison, in the industry, you noticed that. Is it true that rock stars love that mascara and eyeliner? And then, depending on the artist, if it's like a rap artist, they probably won't. Kind of like what Steve was saying.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
you mean like, Kiss, Mick Jagger, or Kiss, Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
All those rock guys. What do you call it? The eyeliner, I guess you call it?
Yeah.
Guyliner.
Yeah, Allison calls it guyliner.
Sometimes you can do too much makeup now. This whole thing with the eyelashes. There's a whole thing to show with these characters. Like long eyelashes.
Musicians typically love, kind of the makeup, comes to mind. And they typically know what they want. When they're not new, when they're experienced, they know what they want. I remember when
Same
I got the
actors,
pleasure to work with. Yeah, I know. Remember when I got the pleasure to work with Prince? That Prince's team told me exactly what he wanted, his colors and everything. And he knew exactly what he wanted. So it just makes it really easy and comfortable when the actor. Or the musician really knows what they want.
You did Prince himself, you did his team, or you did Prince himself or the team? You did him personally or the whole team or what?
I wasn't. No, Prince came to do a show called New Girl, and they needed someone to work with him on that show when he was there. So I worked with him directly. Directly on that.
Good job.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome, bud. And
I love
that.
Yeah, it was great.
And
then
I
met him again later
on
the Then I met him again later on the Arsenio Hall show. When I was there at Arsenio, everybody came through Arsenio.
He came through George Lopez show too. He did like a performance in front of like 400 people on his show.
A lot of the guys come through. They kind of know exactly what they want. I remember like Matthew McConaughey knew exactly what he wanted when we worked on the show.
Publicists will come in with a bag and they'll hand it to you and like you open it up and you know what goes where, right?
Well, it also helps if you're a handsome person or very beautiful. That's half the battle, correct? Cool.
it is.
Yeah, cool
it
is very handsome. I will vouch for that. I said you're very handsome. We all know that. But I think
handsome always helps, doesn't it?
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely make a point to dress stylish on things like this. Like, I dress as edgy as possible, as stylish as possible, just so that when they walk in, they're put at ease that I know what I'm doing or that I'm with it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Part of the job, I think. Isn't it? Cool always dresses really cool.
He does. Representation.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of is. Thank you guys. Well, that was kind of you guys give me all these compliments. That's kind of why I got inspired to start the Daddy Cool Beauty Shop. Yeah,
I'm really excited.
It's going to be very big. It's going to be very, very big.
Let's put that out there. Yeah, put my heart into it and. It's a lot of the stuff that I know, you know, that works for people of all skin types, all genders. So it's not just for people of color. It's not just for white people. It's not for men. It's not just for women. It's for, you know, for everyone. And,
I love that.
I got to play just a little snippet of this song. This Steve, you'll recognize it. But
I'm excited.
I just need to just play a little.
All right, go ahead.
Snippet of this song right here. You're gonna be able to hear. You feel it here. You ready? Y'all ready for this? Here we go.
You know I'm ready.
Hey.
All right, how many of us are shaking our heads and dancing?
I kept telling her, I'm singing, Allison. I was like, do not sing out loud, Nicole. Just hold it in.
I couldn't help it.
Y'all know I put my name in it. You know, every time he sings, I want to rock with cool. Oh,
yeah.
I was saying, I want to rock with cool. I always tend to put my name in all the songs when I want them to love me. Like Whitney Houston, she sang, I will always love cool. I know that. That's the song.
So all I want for Christmas is cool.
That's funny.
Oh, yeah, I can't undo that. Now every time I hear every song, I'm going to be putting your name in everything.
Look, Allison, that's going to be all I want for Christmas is cool now.
That's
me
Mariah's
too.
Song to me.
That's so good.
So I want to ask
Mariah Carey. She's a true a true diva. I mean, she's a true diva, but very – I met her before, once before. My friend worked for her. She was a true diva, but she was very, very kind.
I've heard that.
Mariah is very kind. I had a Mariah encounter. I love Mariah. She came for touch up. She had exactly what she wanted in her bag. She knew exactly what she wanted.
They do.
She was amazing. I want to talk. We always talk about makeup, music, and I want to talk about matters. Matters. Like, what matters most? What's mattering mostly to you right now in your life, Allison? Like, what matters to you?
Kindness and being of example to the younger people that I'm working with, to show them that their self-worth is of utmost importance in terms of building their business. What matters to me is that they don't compromise their self-worth for anything, for a production, for a person, and that they continue to carve out for themselves love, like be love in the world and find love in the world in their careers. Because what I want people to understand is that you can enjoy your job. You don't have to suffer. You can make everything that surrounds you in your career a happy place to be. It is absolutely possible if you choose right, if you follow your heart, if you make the right choices towards the right people in your life, you can enjoy your career.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really what matters to me, because I think people I think a lot of people make unnecessary sacrifices because they think they have to. They take every job.
Ooh,
you know,
come on, Alice.
Yeah, instead of taking what resonates with them, where they can shine the most, and then from there build friendship and more of that.
That's being very green,
you know,
very stupid.
Yeah, it sounds cliche, but what you vibrate, you bring in. So in order
to
vibrate high, you go out and you vibrate love. You will bring more loving jobs to you. Rob Dyrdek is my man. Like, I am his personal makeup artist, and that man has taught me so much about my self-worth and asking for
because he respects you and trusts you. He trusts you, too.
Yes.
You know, he trusts you, too. It's very, very important.
Life by design is what, you know, he's taught me life by design, and I want to be an example to the young people that I hire or that I get to work with, that it can be awesome. 110% of your time at work can be awesome.
And that's awesome, Allison. I love you. I love you. I got a little chill.
So
I got some chills and vibrations.
I love you so much.
Oh,
you are
tissue.
Like,
get,
you know,
give
you
cool
are
tissue.
My guy.
What'd you say,
I love
Steve?
You so much.
Give you a tissue, like Peter, like Eddie Murphy, that joke with Michael. Give me a tissue. That was a classic timeless line, you know, with Tito and Michael, Eddie Murphy, that his actor time. Give him a tissue. Tito's crying.
Give
Thank you for
asking that question. Yeah, of course. It is. I want to talk about that, what matters. I want to talk to you, Steve, too. Like, what matters to you right now? What's a hot topic?
I'm having peace of mind and being real and having the right people in your life and being professional with no kind of BS and, you know, getting along with everybody. These are very turbulent times and very divided times. And I think that people, as Michael used to say, and others like Bob Marley, I had the pleasure of working with him too, music brings people together. Mm-hmm. Because you have a different opinion from me doesn't mean I have to shoot you or shoot you or fight you.
Mm-hmm.
You can agree to disagree. Mm-hmm. In the last couple of years, people, because I disagree with you, then you're not my...
Mm-hmm. Hello? Yeah.
I think you cut out
a little bit.
Agree.
I think you cut out. But I think what Steve is saying is really, really important. I think what Steve is saying is really important, especially as we come into, I don't want to talk about politics, but especially as we come into this election year, where people are going to think differently than you, and it's going to be really divided time. So I really feel like we're going to need to check in with ourselves and
what I think
just realize
is because you have a different opinion from me, doesn't mean I have to hate you. That's fine. I have a different opinion. You can vote
right.
who you want to, and not the politics,
yeah.
and that, but
yeah.
things are different before. Because you're a Democrat, you're Republican, or so and so. That's fine. You know, we agree to disagree, but things have been so.
Agreed.
Intense and the media and social media, mm-hmm. there's a downfall of social media because what's real information and what's
yeah.
fake information? That's the problem now, too. That's a big problem.
That,
what's
yeah,
real
and
what's not
real?
Well, I do
you know?
Agree
yeah,
with the I agree with that. Like, you don't have to demonize somebody for their opinion. You know, if we're not going to agree. Let's agree to disagree. And dialing back to
okay,
what
but
you
sometimes
said,
people
okay.
are stupid.
Okay. That's very true, too.
Sometimes
beyond being gullible.
Like,
I mean, gullible was an easy word years ago. Now
yeah.
it's even being very stupid simple, like I said, being a stupid ten, as you would say.
Yeah.
Right.
Common sense is not common. We know that.
Well, they don't have common
ooh,
sense.
Ooh, that part. Ooh, ooh.
It's not common.
It's not
common. But just respect everybody. No, you know, respect people as a person.
There were people in the South who never had, my mother said this 3 years ago, who said older black people never had education. But if you had common sense, Berry Gordy once
right.
said, you can have all degrees in the world. Berry Gordy was a great mentor of mine. He said,
mm-hmm.
you can have all degrees in the world, all around the world. But if you don't have common sense, will carry
right.
you a long way. And
mm-hmm.
that's
what my mom always say. My mom used to always say that. She'd be like, because, you know,
yes.
back in the day, we only had, you
good,
know,
a good seven,
third
a good
grade
seven
education
seven,
sometimes.
A good seven
huh? Sometimes,
no,
you know, like people
seven,
only had a third grade education,
seven,
but they had a lot of common sense.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what my mom always said.
I
common
love what
sense
you said.
Is worth way more. Than education, than a college degree. Common sense is worth a lot more than a college degree.
I know a lot of millionaires that didn't finish school. I'm not saying don't finish school, children. Not saying that. But I do know a lot of millionaires that did not. They just had talent. They had common sense and books, you know, smart.
And perseverance.
Yeah.
Right.
And perseverance. Y'all hear that?
Steve, I want to comment on what you said. I get what you're saying in terms of, like, when people disagree, like when you have nothing to fight against, if you can just be in a center place of love, even though if you don't agree with somebody, it creates a peaceful place for the world.
Yes.
And and the world is so big on getting their point out or their opinion out, and they go at
mm-hmm.
each other, and it causes more dissonance. And if we can just allow other people to believe what they believe, but still be love with one another,
mm-hmm.
then we can come together. You know, we are the world, Michael Jackson, right? Like, that
yeah.
was one of the most beautiful music videos that ever came out in history of holiday times. And
yeah.
I hear what you're saying, and I validate, and I love what you said. I love what you said, Steve.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, that message needs to really resonate with people right now, because we are coming into an election year, and it is going to be ugly. And you are not going to like what other people are saying, and they're going to really dig their feet in. And we're just going to have to, you know, agree to disagree and still respect the people, because, you know, what's common is that we all want to be loved. We all want to be successful. We all should want to save our democracy or just have
yes.
a democracy, have a say. We all want to have a say. So we have that in common. So that's
and learn
to participate.
We don't all have to be right. Yeah.
We don't have
that's,
to be right. Yeah.
Correct. Like,
we don't
like
have to be right, but
we gotta
be heard. But you have to
what?
Be heard.
Fighting,
I don't have to be
fighting
right,
to
but
be
I gotta
right
be heard.
Causes war. But even
right.
when they're on the news, like, I can't even watch debates or news anymore. It's not even professional anymore. They have no respect for the other.
Nope.
person that they're talking to. They want to yell over each
News has changed. When people put years ago, your Cronkite, your older Barbara Water, they didn't get their personal opinion. They delivered the news, and that was it. Nowadays, the commentators get their own personal, and that was a no-no years ago. You read your
mm-hmm.
copy, what was happening, that was it. But now
there's a lot of emotion involved. Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said,
yeah, no
people are very gullible. People are stupid. People are not smart.
He would just believe in everything. But, all right, y'all. This has been so much fun, and I've enjoyed having you guys on the show.
Well,
Allison,
thank you for
Gladu,
inviting me.
I
appreciate it. It's been a great talk.
Steve,
thank
Mr.
you so much
Manning.
For inviting me.
Absolutely.
Cool,
Nikki
I can't
Shea.
Thank you enough. You, Nikki, you guys are all wonderful. Steve, I will hope to meet you someday. You, I know you got so many more stories, and I have all the time in the world to listen
well,
to you,
well,
sir.
Well, I'm doing a docu-series coming up next year, a docu-series, and I'm doing a podcast, so you'll be hearing more about all these things, even much more. Not just my own, Jack, but other people.
Amazing.
Yeah,
a lot
yeah,
of great
tell
stories.
Our,
yeah, great stories and
tell
true,
our listeners,
true stories.
Tell our listeners about any upcoming projects you got or anything you guys wanted to know. We got a few more minutes
well,
here.
A podcast, Fanning a Town, and also doing a docu-series, the Michael Jackson Nobody Knew, is coming up next year.
Nice.
So you'll be hearing more about
that. For that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right.
I'm starting
what about
an
you,
agency. Al? I'm starting an agency. It's time for me to shape and mold some kiddos to, like I said, know their self-worth and help them avoid mistakes that I made along the way and give, you know, talent what they deserve in terms of professionalism from a makeup and hair standpoint and, you know, make some mailbox money. So all of those reasons.
You say mailbox money? That's so funny.
Right.
Mailbox money. That's funny.
Oh, it was
well,
a pleasure.
Well, both of you guys. Go ahead, Nicole.
No, it was a pleasure. I really enjoyed it. This is what it's about, the show,
happy,
and just talking. Yeah.
Awesome.
Wonderful.
You guys are awesome.
Happy holidays.
Blessings.
It's been great talking, everyone. Thank you again.
Yeah, I'm
well,
looking
forward
to tune in every Monday.
You guys are going to each be getting a package from Daddy Cool Beauty Shop. I sent Steve. I sent you some stuff. Allison,
oh, thank you.
So excited.
Oh, thank you so much. Good to hear. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes. I can't wait for you guys to try it. Give me some feedback.
Looking
and anybody out there
who
wants
cool.
to listen, you guys can order your stuff from daddycool.la.
Well, all the best on your success with them. All the best.
Thanks.
Good success to you.
Thank you. I'm going to close out here with something that we all need a lot of. And that's
Woo!
Something from another project.
I'm excited.
Steve.
Yeah.
Nikki, you want to say something?
No, this is my song. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
This your song? This your song? Okay. I cannot wait to close out with this jam because
thanks, Nikki.
It's Janet. It's
thank
Janet.
You,
it's
thank
Janet.
You,
thank
and we
you.
Got
appreciate
control
thank you.
And I got a lot of it.